When we first got into the Football League, it was probably the one that stands out the most. We had some player called Jamie Vardy, but I don't know what's happened to him since.
Obviously, Joey Barton's got to do his job. He's got big expectations on him. He's brought new players in, and we're hoping to see some benefits. I hope it starts tonight.
For me, it's just been kind of the evolution. We're seeing another new era taking over now in the Joey Barton era.
Hello and welcome to Who Are You, the podcast about what it means to be a football fan. From documentaries delving into the heart of a football club to special guest interviews exploring the origins of their fandom, every fan and every club has a story to tell, and we want to tell it. Over the course of this podcast, we will attempt to discover what really matters to fans, placing their stories in a broader footballing context. And with a new episode released every other Friday morning, it's the Who Are You fans who support by far the greatest team the world has ever seen. In this episode, we're back on the Fylde Coast, where this podcast began. We hop on a train from Blackpool to Fleetwood and ask fans of the COD Army, who are you? There's a chill in the air this Tuesday evening. That's to be expected with Fleetwood. Sitting where it foes in the northwest corner of the Fylde, it's not uncommon for the town to get battered by winds, particularly on October nights like tonight. This isn't a convenient ground to get to by public transport, the tram from Blackpool taking a good 35 minutes just on its own. Nonetheless, it does offer a passenger the opportunity to breathe in the sea air and spot the Fisherman's Friend factory just a few minutes from Fleetwood Town's Highbury Stadium.
A cough or sore throat? Aren't you glad you have friends? Like Fisherman's Friend medicated lozenges. They even make nasal passages feel clearer. So try Fisherman's Friend medicated lozenges with over 100 years of effectiveness.
The place where they make throat lozenges may not exactly match Blackpool Tower for tourist interest, but it serves a vital role in this part of the world. It remains one of the area's biggest employers. Fleetwood made its name from fishing, but since that industry fell into decline, it's been left to other businesses to try and pick up the slack. There is, though, at least one other business that seems to be thriving in Fleetwood, the town's football club. In this forgotten part of West Lancashire, Fleetwood is a club on the make. It's got a bit of money in its pocket, and it's giving the area a breath of fresh air. They do work, those lozenges. Fleetwood Town, at least this incarnation of them, were founded in 1997, originally as Fleetwood Freeport. Since returning to football in the North West Counties League Division 2, they've never known a relegation. In 1999, they reached North West Counties League Division 1, but it was 6 years later that they went on a remarkable surge through the divisions. After 5 promotions in 8 seasons, they were then promoted to the Football League in 2012. The goal-scoring exploits of one player in particular made a lasting impression on the club.
Here's Vardy. The fans just wanted to hold the ball up here. Oh, but he's kept going, Vardy, all the way! 2-0 to Fleetwood, and they're surely through to the third round of the FA Cup for the first time in their history. Their top scorer with his 15th goal of the season. He just kept going and kept going. And it's victory for the non-leaguers.
Jamie Vardy, first season with Fleetwood Town and a championship medal to go with it.
Yeah, it's obviously it's brilliant. I mean, just glad that I got the opportunity. Obviously coming from Halifax, and as you say, the season just worked out as it has. Perfect.
33 goals and still 2 games left, and let's remember you didn't join until the end of August.
Yeah, I'm dead proud of how my goal and scoring's gone on, but obviously it's all about the points that we needed to get promoted, and that's what we've managed to get.
But having joined the Football League, they didn't stop looking up.
The man who's produced more goals in the red and white of Fleetwood this season than anyone else, Sarcevic. But it's a horrible error from Dean Linus, the goalkeeper. The referee is about to blow the full-time whistle to signal history for Fleetwood Town, and they are there! What a story! Quite remarkable! Fleet of foot, Fleetwood Town's rise up the English football pyramid. Six promotions in 10 seasons is unprecedented.
At Wembley, a 1-0 win over Burton Albion took Fleetwood to the third tier of English football. An amazing achievement. Of course, Cinderella stories in football are few and far between, so it would be remiss of us not to mention that they of course had a fair bit of financial help along the way. Selling Jamie Vardy to Leicester City for £1 million helped line the club's coffers. Does anyone know how Jamie got on, by the way? Then of course, there's the investment of Andy Pilley. Pilley is a self-made local businessman with the financial resources to support his club. Every fan's dream. Chairman of a utility group, Pilley took over Fleetwood in 2004. At that point, the club was still in the North West Counties League. The stadium was dilapidated and an attendance of 200 was a good effort. The effect of the investment has been remarkable. Fleetwood are an established League One club. Their average attendance last season was over 3,000. Their manager is a high-profile former Premier League star and their facilities are incredible. We visited Pulford Farm in the summer to take in England's World Cup quarter-final against Sweden. In the baking sun, Pulford, Fleetwood Town's training ground, hosted hundreds of England fans and, dare I say, made a pretty penny out of plying them with beer. But it's much more than a great piss-up location. It's got state-of-the-art training facilities and it's a proper community hub too. Sir Alex Ferguson opened this sports and leisure complex in 2016 and it boasts a bar, a restaurant, two full-size 4G pitches, grass pitches, a gym. The idea is being anyone playing any level of football can kick a ball around here.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. It's the facilities are literally off the scale. It's a Premier League facility. And I'm just thrilled to be able to give this facility to Fleetwood Football Club to be used and to the community.
Then, of course, a few minutes walk away, there's Highbury Stadium, where tonight Fleetwood Town hosts Wycombe Wanderers in a good old-fashioned floodlights and Bovril weeknight encounter. The travelling posse of fans from Buckinghamshire represent the ludicrous levels of devotion that we just love to see at football matches. At least they're in for a warm welcome. Highbury is every bit as plush as Pulford, and just like our visit to Queen's Park, it has the ability to attract tourists. The first people we meet in the stadium bar are here from Norway.
My name is Morten. I brought my son, Christopher, to Fleetwood because each year we have a traditional trip to England. And this time I wanted to... Each year we do a different... tour around. So this year we decided to go to the flight to Manchester, go to Fleetwood and see a football game in a lower level. I like the park, I like the stadium, I like the atmosphere, so I'm always familiar about this atmosphere before the game, and people are very polite. So my kind of level to watch game and have a quiet night and enjoy the game.
There's always a Norwegian. Outside the bar at Highbury, we speak to Reese, who's been coming to Fleetwood since he moved here in 2001.
I actually used to work here as one of the stewards, but then had an accident and, you know, sort of, you become a fan over the time you're working.
It's been great.
I mean, when I first come here, you know, it was a case of maybe 80, 90 fans, you know, that two man and his dog type scenario. Everybody knew everybody, but, you know, we're here today. We've got a nice built stadium, great training ground. If you get a chance to see that, go.
It's been an unreal rise.
You know, we've had six promotions in, I think it's 12 years altogether, something like that. You know, eventually, you know, you will see us in the Championship. Premier League, I would love it. You know, I think every club would. But realistically, I can see us being in the Championship. And, you know, we'll enjoy however long we're there. It is a family club. You know, people will come with families. They are very community-minded. And we've had some great eyes. You know, when we first got into the Football League was probably the one that stands out the most. And we had some player called Jamie Vardy, but I don't know what's happened to him since.
Joining Reese is his friend Steve. His is a tale of defection.
Yeah, I'm Steve Lee, and this is my son Rowan. Well, originally I used to be a Blackpool supporter, but I don't talk about that too much. But started going to see Preston with the kids, and turned out it just felt eventually that we were getting ripped off. So I said, right, we'll come to Fleetwood, we'll watch grassroots football. They're in the conference, and we've been here ever since and enjoyed every season.
Does Steve feel any split loyalties now Fleetwood operate in the same league as his former club?
Not at all, no. Blackpool's changed a lot from what it was. We get value for money at Fleetwood. I think maybe they're a middle of the table club at the moment, at best, and obviously Joey Barton's got to do his job. He's going to have big expectations on him. He's brought new players in, and we're hoping to see some benefits. I hope it starts tonight.
Fleetwood needed this. The town felt the effect of the decline of the fishing industry, and like so many clubs, their team nickname is a connection to the past, rather than a celebration of a thriving local concern. The Icelandic cod wars of the 1970s spelled disaster for the industry, and now there is reportedly just one trawler man left in the town. In 2015, Gary Mitchinson told the BBC, "It's getting to the point now where I ask myself if it's worth the effort. I was one of the youngest in the job, now I'm one of the last. But it's in the blood, it's hard to let go. Never in a million years would I have believed it. I sit here many a day shaking my head and asking, what happened?" Football clubs can't replace a whole industry, especially one so synonymous with a particular local area. But don't let anyone who's been to Fleetwood tell you that football doesn't matter. Football provides jobs, football brings together communities, and football offers escapism, hopes and dreams. And for Fleetwood Town fans, they've been living a dream for so long, they don't want it to stop.
Yeah, well, I'm David Mitchell. I've been at Fleetwood, this is my 10th season at Fleetwood now. I retired from being a headmaster 10 years ago, and I went into the press side. And since then, I've been with six managers, I think, now. I've seen, obviously, a lot of changes because in that time we've gone from Conference North through to League One and got these wonderful new facilities here and at the training ground. I think, obviously, the arrival of the chairman, Andy Pilley, and yes, he has put a lot of money into the club, but he's a genuine football guy who's got a good business acumen and a good eye for a footballer as well. And he's galvanised things. I think the arrival of Jamie Vardy just after the conference season started, when we'd gone up to the conference and we'd had a good first season, but then start of season two, nothing was really happening. And then he signed this guy who everybody else was looking at, but nobody had the courage to go and buy. And obviously he was the catalyst of a very good side which got us into the Football League. And since then, I think we've gone through managers who each have had experience at higher levels, and they've been able to cope better and better with, you know, the levels we've reached. And to think of a town like ours now, 26,000 in League One, it's absolutely incredible. First of all, they employ a lot of the local community. We're one of the biggest employers in the town now. You know, after the demise of the fishing industry, we've needed things like this stimulation. It's amazing now what we do. 10 years ago, one of my jobs was to do the community. And with my school experience, I was able to do a certain amount in the time I had. But now we have, I think, 20 people doing that. Obviously, you know, we get extra funding by being in the Football League, but we've spread our range out towards the motorway, M6, Garstang, places like that. And at Poolfoot, we're open 24 hours almost. Not literally, but 9 to 90 year olds can benefit from what's up there, and there's just such a total breadth of things, you know, well-being, mental health issues, all these sorts of things are catered for, and it's really a fantastic development. There's a lot of good people throughout the club who are very proactive ideas wise and entrepreneurial, and you know, things like the big screen, this big screen here at the ground, you know, this predated many clubs of our size. And I think Fleetwood's never been afraid to test the water, really, and try new things involving both the team and the wider community.
David counts one player in particular as synonymous with the club's rise.
I think the season where Jamie Vardy here was just so exciting. know, he was just, you never knew what he was going to do next. And I remember individual games, I remember individual goals. Getting into the Football League was a bit of a damp squib in the end because we lost our last two games. We actually got through due to somebody else's results. We weren't even on the pitch. But that was a great feeling as well. And in fact, you know, I put all these into a book. There's no point in me advertising this because it's sold out. It's called...
You're not doing another run there.
Living the Dream, and it's going to be updated next year. Living the Dream, which is the Fleetwood fan. If you say to Fleetwood fans, how are you doing? They always say, I'm living the dream. And that's, you know, how the title came along. And a lot of the things I've talked about are in that. It's been a joy for me, really. I don't get paid for this. I'm just a volunteer, but... It's a lovely way to pass your retirement on. I think the six promotions in 10 years is pretty unique. But I'll just mention a player, Nathan Pond, who left us at the end of last season. He's now playing for Salford. He broke records. He's a Guinness record holder. He played just under 500 games for us. And he played in eight different divisions, which is more than anybody has before. And he came as an 18-year-old, a gangly lad who took a lot of stick early on, back in 2002, 2003. You know, but he emerged as a quality racehorse, and his exploits and his records helped to put us on the map.
As David mentions this, the eye is drawn to one of the many flags behind the goal, Nathan Pond, Cod Army legend. It's fitting that he had a water-based name. How much higher can the Cod Army set their sights? Well, it's been an inconsistent start to the season for Joey Barton in his first managerial job. When they host Wickham, Fleetwood have just recorded back-to-back defeats against Southend and Barnsley and really could do with a win. Paddy Madden's first half header seems to put them in the ascendancy. But in the second half, some slack defending leads to the ball bouncing up in front of the titanic figure of lower league journeyman Adebayo Akinfenwa. And the beast makes no mistake from just inside the area. One all then. A game summed up by one Wickham fan leaving the ground who remarks, "We drove 4.5 hours for this. Well, it wasn't awful." The inconsistency under Joey Barton continued after the Wickham game. 2 wins, 2 defeats, and then a massive 3-2 win over Blackpool, the club's first ever victory over their Fylde Coast rivals. Despite it being a home game, Barton had his side stay in a hotel on Blackpool's promenade to keep an on-the-road mentality and keep his squad together, a move that paid dividends. Blackpool and Fleetwood's first meeting was a 5-1 defeat, and it was just 6 years ago, in 2012. That year, Fleetwood was still non-league, and Blackpool ended up one game away from a return to the Premier League. How times change. And how Blackpool fans might now envy Fleetwood, a team who, until recently, they probably wouldn't have even considered a rival. In episode 1, we were on a march of thousands of Blackpool fans standing up to their club's owners. A few miles up the road, it's a different story entirely. Local journalist Rosie Swarbrick has witnessed Blackpool's decline and Fleetwood's rise firsthand.
I'm Rosie Swarbrick, a sports journalist for the Blackpool Gazette. I've been covering Fleetwood Town up and down the country since March 2016. So, no, I'm not a Fleetwood fan. I've just been covering them for a long time now. I think, though, you end up developing a relationship where you end up being, not becoming a fan, but it's kind of that fine line between I cover the team up and down the country, I know more about Fleetwood than I would say about the team I support myself. It just becomes your life. Like, my life is Fleetwood. It just, as a sports reporter, it becomes your club, the club you cover becomes part of your life, and the people, they end up mattering to you. Oh, well, since I took over, they've been in League One. It's now, I think, off the top of my head, it's the, they got promoted to League One in 2014, so it's, the fourth year sort of in League One now. They're an established League One club. When I first took over, it was the second season that they're in League One, so it was kind of, they've been becoming established. I haven't seen the rise as dramatically as some of my predecessors have seen it, because obviously I've not seen a promotion yet at Fleetwood Town. Still yet to see one, even though there's been so many in recent history. So I've kind of seen the evolution, really. When I took over, they're in a relegation battle. The season after was the first Uwe Rosler season, where they ended up in that promotion push, you know, fighting for automatic promotion and just missing out in the playoffs. And the third season, was obviously last year's relegation battle, and now again it looks like it's going to be possibly a promotion push, definitely top 10. I expect nothing less than top 10 this season. So yeah, for me it's just been kind of the evolution. We're seeing another new era taking over now in the Joey Barton era. Highlight, oh well, there's a lot actually, a lot of highlights. The one that springs to mind, there was a 3-0 win at Bradford last year, which was just one of the best games of football I've seen from a Fleetwood perspective.
A playoff semi-final defeat in 2017 to Bradford City denied the Cod Army the chance to step up to the Championship. That fourth place finish was the highest in the club's history. It will be remarkable if Joey Barton's squad can replicate the achievements of UE Roslers, especially with clubs the size of Sunderland and Portsmouth leading the way in the third tier. But there's always hope. They had to fight against relegation last season, but at the time of writing, they're 10th in League One, 4 points outside the playoff places.
This season, I would be very happy if we're in the top half of the table, me personally. I know, you know, people want promotion or the playoffs, but if we're in the top half after, I mean, we had an horrible season last season.
Whether they have a tilt at the playoffs or not, Fleetwood fans know that they've never had it so good. If Barton can inject the side with some consistency, then there may be another improbable chapter in this story.
What we've seen this season, well, this summer, is a big shift. Joey just spoke to the Gazette about it the other week, about the shift in recruitment. For the first time in a long time, we're seeing experienced senior pros who've played in the Premier League, played in the Championship, got promotion on their CVs, coming in, the likes of Ross Wallace and Ryan Taylor just being signed, out-of-contract players signed up just in the last couple of weeks. That to deal with, perhaps, when we saw the suspension to Wes Burns and the suspension to Ash Hunter. He's then gone out and actually recruited. I know they've not spent money, but it's still the wages that come with that and all that sort of side of it. So, yeah, I think there's a real commitment to Joey there, in that, you know, they have changed the way that they are recruiting. There has been a clear shift into getting experience and not just young players like it has been for perhaps a long time at Fleetwood. Yeah, he's been brilliant. He likened me to Jeremy Paxman the other day after a couple of interviews, which I'm taking as a compliment. But he's been a delight to deal with. He's humorous, he's intelligent, he's very easy to talk to, very willing to speak. I think right now what we're having after back-to-back defeats, we'll see after tonight what the result is, but this is the first perhaps time when we're seeing him under a bit of pressure. There's been quite a few injuries, quite a few niggles, quite a few suspensions, and it's all the dealing with the stuff that you're dealing with in League One, like referees. He's never dealt with part-time referees before, not that they're part-time, but you know, he's not dealt with referees that aren't of a Premier League standard, so that's taken some adapting to, you know, just the little things about decisions and all that sort of stuff, and like the red card to Wes Burns that everyone thought was harsh but was ended up being held up, and it's all that sort of stuff, kind of getting used to not just the football, the standards of football dipping, but also everything else that comes with being in the League One club and just the reality of that.
As we board the tram back, the wind blows in again from the Irish Sea. In the early hours of the following morning, what remains of the area's trawlermen will be listening out for the shipping forecast.
And now, before the news and weather, here is the shipping forecast issued by the Meteorological Office at 1400 hours Greenwich Mean Time. Finisterre, Dogger, Rockall, Bailey, no. Wednesday, variable, imminent, super.
For Fleetwood's football fans, there may be choppy waters to come, but in the grand scheme of things, this is plain sailing. Those who were there from the beginning would have never forecast this. Thank you for listening to this episode of Who Are You? Our thank you to everyone we spoke to at Fleetwood Town Football Club. This episode was written by David Callishaw, interviews were compiled by David, and it was edited and narrated by myself, Ben Cartwright. If you're new to our podcast, welcome along. We produce monthly documentaries on what it means to be a football fan, alongside monthly interviews with people we admire on the origins of their fandom. On the origins of their football fandom. Recently, interviews have included Guardian cartoonist David Squires, Twitter legend Johnny Sharples, and Football Beyond Borders co-founder Thomas Perez. Our recent documentaries have looked at the unique setup at Brentford FC and the goings-on at Scotland's oldest league club, Queen's Park. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Acast, Audioboom, or wherever you get your podcasts every other Friday morning. If you'd like to go one step further and help us reach a wider audience, review or social media shout-out would instantly put you in our good graces. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you soon.